Reading comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 27, verses 18 to 34. So he went in to his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Now sit up and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me." But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" He answered, "Because the Lord your God granted me success." Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come near me, that I may feel you, my son, to know whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob went near to Isaac, to his father, who felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he did not recognize him, because his hands were hairy like his brother's Esau's hands. So he blessed him, and he said, "Are you really my son Esau?" He answered, "I am." Then he said, "Bring it near to me, that I may eat of my son's game and bless you." So he brought it near to him, and he ate, and he brought him wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come near and kiss me, my son." So he came near and kissed him, and Isaac smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him and said, "See the smell of my son, as is the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may your mother's son bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you." As soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, when Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, Esau his brother came in from his hunting. He had also prepared delicious food and brought it to his father. And he said to his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that you may bless me." His father Isaac said to him, "Who are you?" He answered, "I am your son, your firstborn Esau." Then Isaac trembled very violently and said, "Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? And I ate it before you came, and I have blessed him. Yes, and he shall be blessed." As soon as Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, Bless me also, O my father. Amen.
Please join me once more in a word of prayer. Our Father, thank you for this word. Lord, we pray that it would build us up, that you'd make our hearts soft and receptive, like good soil, that we may bear 30, 60, 100-fold fruit. So God, transform us by the power of your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This week, we move on to a new part of Genesis. We've been looking at the life of Abraham and what it means to live a life of faith. This week, we're moving on to the end of the life of Isaac, where we get introduced to Jacob. Who is Jacob? Jacob is a pretty bad guy. When you look at his life, he's not good. You see this all throughout. He's messed up in a lot of ways. Throughout his life, he's manipulating people to getting what he wants. He's just not a good guy. He's not a model of faith. In fact, for most of his life, Jacob is the opposite of a spiritual model. You shouldn't follow what he does. But through his life, we get a glimpse of how God works in people's lives. God saves people by grace. You see that especially in the life of Jacob. So we need the story of Jacob to understand what Christianity is all about, what grace is all about. Now, in today's passage, this is a very famous story. Jacob steals his older brother's blessing. Isaac wants to bless his sons, and Jacob steals it. Here, we see one of Jacob's many problems. It's also one of our many problems. It's insecurity. You and I face this every day. You don't feel good enough. You don't feel like you measure up. You feel inadequate. You have to do something to cover up your deficiencies. Jacob faced this problem thousands of years ago. And his story shows us how to overcome insecurity. So how do you overcome insecurity? Let's answer that question by looking at what these characters do to get blessing. In this passage, we see the need for blessing, the quest for blessing, and the power of blessing. Point one, the need of blessing. Point two, the quest for blessing. And point three, the power. So first, the need for blessing. You know, this is a peculiar story because right off the bat, See, Jacob is pretending to be his older brother Esau. He says to Isaac, his father, in verse 19, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Now sit up and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me." What is going on here? Isaac is he's pretty old at this point, I think over 100. He's blind, he's really old, and he has two sons who are his twins, Jacob and Esau. The older son, Esau, the older twin is Esau, and the younger twin is Jacob. And right there in verse 19, you see that Isaac, the father, only wants to bless the older son. There's no mention of Jacob. So in the beginning of the chapter, which we didn't read, Rebecca, Isaac's wife, finds out. So she tells, she makes this plan. "Okay, Jacob, I want you to dress up like your brother. Pretend to be your brother so you can get this blessing from your dad." So Jacob obeys. He prepares his food. So that is what Jacob is doing in verse 19. He wants the blessing. Now, this seems like a very foreign concept to modern Western people. Why do they want the blessing so much? What's so good about this blessing? You know, they just seem a little too eager to get it from their dad. To answer that question, we have to first answer another preliminary question. What is blessing? You know, the word is so familiar, it's unfamiliar. It's this vague concept. You don't really think about it on a daily basis. But it's important to understand because it's something that you and I want. What is blessing? Two parts to the question, two parts to the answer. First, there's the content of blessing. Blessing is favor, to put it simply, favorable circumstances in life. So to put it another way, blessing is having a good and easy life. Get a good job, find a good wife, you make a lot of money. You see that in verse 28, this is what Isaac says in his blessing. "May God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine." That's the content of blessing. Blessing is well-being in your life. Good health, lots of good stuff, all the goodies. Never going hungry. It's a good life. But there's a second part to the blessing, and that is the verbal act of communicating the blessing. Blessing is an act of verbal affirmation. It's part of that's the part where the words come out of Isaac's mouth. When you bless, you say something good to the person. You say words that empower or strengthen the other person for their future course of life. You know, in English we do this, we bless, believe it or not. There's a little kid at his Little League baseball game. You're the creepy uncle who's a little bit too enthusiastic about sports. So you show up at the game and you yell, "Knock it out of the park, Jimmy! Don't be a wuss!" That's a type of blessing. Or, you pat the kid on the back because he's nervous. "Don't worry, Jimmy. Go get him, Tiger. You can do it. Doesn't matter." It's verbal affirmation. Jacob wants blessing, and he wants to hear those words so much that he pretends to be Esau to steal the blessing. So that's the second layer of blessing. It's the verbal affirmation. So you know what is the big deal about blessing? Well, actually, we all want it. We actually need it to operate. You need words of affirmation to give you courage and strength. That's how we were built. Just think of what happens to a child when they only receive verbal abuse, negativity, criticism growing up. What is going to happen to that child's psychological condition? They're going to be afraid for the rest of their life. They'll hesitate to try difficult things because their parents always criticize them. Or, their whole life will be dominated by fear, or alternatively, they'll just be messed up. They will become verbal abusers. They'll never see the positive in other people, always pick out the wrong. Why? Because words have the power to change you. People say, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never break me." Okay, smarty pants, it's actually false. That's absolutely untrue in the real world. Words have the power to make you into a person of beautiful character and wisdom. And words also have the power to break you inside and make you foolish and miserable. Here's a letter you've received in the mail. It's from Stanford University, Northern California. You've been accepted as a student. Very, very few people get accepted there for undergraduate studies. The acceptance rate, I looked it up, it's 5% or something like that. What happens when you receive the letter? You feel great about yourself. You feel validated. Your self-esteem is through the roof. Your hard work paid off. You feel special. You feel like your life has meaning. Here's another even more competitive scenario. You apply for a job at Google. Have you ever done this? Apparently it's 1 in 10,000 applicants gets a job. You're the lucky guy. You get interviewed, you pass the phone screen, the interviewer likes you, the manager, you get the job offer.
That job offer, that piece of paper, what does it say? Yeah, it says your salary, the details of your employment, but it says something underneath. The job offer implies something else. Underneath it says, you are somebody that matters. You're special. You're talented. You are extraordinarily competent, unique, and important, and we want you. That is the verbal affirmation in the letter. In other words, there's a blessing. When somebody important says that to you, somebody like Google, you're important, I want a good life for you, it makes a big difference for you emotionally and psychologically. And for Jacob, that somebody important was his father. See, all throughout his life, he wanted his father, Isaac, to tell him, you matter to me. You're important. You're unique. You're valuable. You're not a nobody. You're special. Throughout his entire life, Jacob struggles to get that affirmation and attention. But Isaac loves Esau. See, Isaac has a favorite son. It's his older son, Esau. He doesn't really care that much about Jacob. You see that in the previous two chapters. You know, he only wants to bless Esau. So Jacob wants the blessing. Why? Because when a person you love, when a person you admire says, you are great, you're important, what happens? You feel great. You remember this happened in the second Spider-Man movie, The Amazing Spider-Man? It's the one with Andrew Garfield. There's this guy named Max, who's the electrical engineer at Oscorp, played by Jamie Foxx. He's a nobody. You know, he always gets overlooked. Nobody knows his birthday. Nobody knows his name. But one day, Spider-Man saves him and gives him his electrical blueprints from before. And he says, these look pretty important, Max. And Max says, how do you know my name? And he says, I'm a nobody. That's what he says. And Spider-Man says, hey, you're not a nobody. You're somebody. You're my eyes and ears out here. That is a blessing. That makes him feel important. Somebody notices him. And it changes him. The Bible tells us, each one of us, all of us have a deep desire, an insatiable need for words of affirmation. Deep down, all of us want blessing. We need blessing. You know, you want somebody to tell you you're special, you're important. The human heart, in other words, is deeply insecure. You always feel inadequate without verbal affirmation. So you need the blessing. So first, we see here the need for blessing. Now, second, can somebody open the back window, please? Second, here we see the quest for blessing. All of us need blessing. All of us are on this quest to get this blessing one way or another. In the story of Jacob and Esau, they take two very different approaches to getting the blessing. Esau works really hard to get his father's love. You know, he depends on his own resources. Jacob knows there's no chance that his father's going to give him the blessing, so he deceives, he pretends. Let's take a look at both their lives. First, we see Esau, the older brother. He is the hardworking guy. You know, in verse 31, we see that he's the better guy. He's actually more morally respectable. Seems like, you know, he's the good guy in the story. He's the firstborn son. He does things the right way. He doesn't cheat. But we see earlier in Genesis 25, he sells his birthright to Jacob. And what is a birthright? It's a right that you're entitled to by birth. So in ancient cultures, the firstborn son gets first dibs on the father's inheritance. The first son gets the best stuff, and the second son gets nothing. That is the principle of primogeniture. The first son gets the best stuff, the second son gets nothing. So according to primogeniture, Esau gets everything. That's the birthright. But in Genesis 25, Esau sells it. So you know who, because he wants to eat lentil soup or something, he sells it to Jacob. So who is Esau? Esau is a man who is driven by his appetite. He wants what's in front of him. And in this particular passage, we also see that he is a man that is deeply driven by a desire for his father's blessing. He wants his father's blessing. Look at how he responds in verse 34 when he learns that his blessing has been stolen. It says, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. So here we learn Esau wants the blessing. He's also a hard worker. He's a go-getter. Like a typical New Yorker, he's on a quest for blessing. And you can probably relate to him a little bit more easily than you can to Jacob. Why? Because, you know, a lot of people today don't swindle and cheat like Jacob do. But deep down inside, or like both of them, there's this deep need for affirmation. And also, this deep desire for a happy and easy life. Esau wants that. And that's what's inside of you. So that is why you're always overworking yourself. Did you ever see that Disney movie Wreck-It Ralph? Ralph is this bad guy in this video game called Fix-It Felix Jr. And his whole job is to break the building. But because he does that, none of his coworkers in the video game like him. You know, all of his coworkers, they like the hero, Felix, the good guy. So Felix gets the medal, he gets the party in the penthouse. People like Felix. He's a great guy. They want to hang out with him. Nobody wants to hang out with Ralph. So he sleeps alone in the garbage. So what does Ralph do? Ralph goes on a quest for blessing. He goes into this other like first-person shooter video game, Heroes Duty. This game where you shoot alien bugs. And he climbs up to the central tower and he gets the Medal of Honor there. Why does he want it so bad? It's the same motive that drives all of us. You're on a quest to get recognition, praise, accomplishment. This is how modern people get blessing. It's through achievement. It's through hard work. Sheryl Sandberg is the COO of Facebook, Chief Operating Officer. In 2013, she wrote a book called Lean In. It's pretty popular. It's about empowering women in the workplace. So in the first chapter, she talks about how ambition is in women generally is seen as a negative quality. And her point is it's actually a good thing for women to be ambitious and career-driven. We should praise women who do that. You know, the Bible affirms that. Ambition is a good thing. But what is on the other end of ambition? It's that self-worth. It's that self-satisfaction of knowing that you're somebody. Christine Bader recently wrote an article in the New York Times entitled "The Year I Learned to Quit." And this is a woman who got offered her dream job at Amazon. She ran marathons. She had kids, twins actually. And she continued running marathons and pursuing her career. And she writes, "Never have I quit anything, ever. I have always been all in, a complete finisher, someone who sets ambitious goals and achieves them. I ran my first marathon while writing my first book the year after I had twins, for goodness sake." She talks about why she quit. And you know why she quit? She realized it's exhausting. When she walked away from her dream job, you know, she had kids at that point, they were 22 months old, and this is, she explains why she walked away. She says, "My hours were manageable, but I wasn't as present as I wanted to be when I was home." In other words, she had a good, decent work-life balance, but she wasn't able to love the people in front of her. That is what happens when ambition consumes you. That's what happens when the quest for success becomes your savior. You become so obsessed that you don't even pay attention to the people around you. You know, human beings created in the image of God, your friends, people who suffer, people who face different things in life, they don't matter to you. Because your job matters to you. You ignore people because you're so obsessed with academic success, your career, your physical appearance. Whatever it is, it's a quest for blessing. That's what Esau wanted, and that's what you want. So you overwork. Why? Because there is this deep emotional insecurity inside you. Just very practically, why do you think you're so desperate for a romantic partner? You want somebody beautiful to tell you, "I love you. I think you're beautiful, and I want to be with you forever." And your emotional stability goes up and down, depending on whether somebody gives you those words. Why are you so insecure? Why do you need somebody to affirm you with love, to tell you that you're beautiful? Why do you need 63 likes on your Instagram post? The Bible tells us you are like Jacob and Esau. You feel inadequate, so you need blessing, and you pursue blessing with all of your life. And the Bible also tells us that you will never get this lasting sense of self-worth, this security, unless you get it from God himself. See, you need the blessing of God. Sometimes you'll do it like Esau, the morally respectable way. Other times, you know, you'll be really hardworking and ambitious. It'll look good in front of other people. You know, lazy people, they kind of look, when you're lazy, and you look like a bum in front of other people, just morally, there's more disdain. People look down on you. When you're ambitious, you're not bumming around your house playing video games, so you look great in front of other people. But ambition, seeking the blessing, do you see how offensive to God that is? You know, you're getting your blessings, your verbal affirmation from your work. You're not loving God through your hard work. You're hating God through hard work. You are getting your emotional security and self-worth through something else besides God. It's a quest for blessing, and it's a quest for something else besides God. Now, other times, you know, you'll do what Jacob does here. Jacob wants the blessing, so what does he do? He lies. He lies multiple times. Starting in verse 19, I am Esau. Some of you are like, might be like, well, I'm a Christian. I try my best not to lie, so, you know, this is not relevant to me. I can't relate to Jacob. You don't think lying is a serious problem in your life, you know, at least not on this scale. You're not doing something on the proportion of Jacob. You're not stealing your brother's blessing. When you lie as an adult, it's extremely easy to justify. You say, my lies aren't that bad. They're white lies. I'm not really lying. Why do people lie? People lie for the same reason that Jacob lies. You want the blessing. You want people to like you. You know, as an adult, it's so much harder to detect, but you do this all the time. Some of you know I'm colorblind. I've been colorblind all my life. Probably the first time I realized this was in first grade. I was coloring a page, and I wanted to color the sun. So I picked up a crayon that looked yellow, but Crayola has the, 256 crayons in the package. I picked up this crayon. It said yellow-green. And in my mind, I thought, man, these idiots. It's not yellow-green. It's yellow. So, you know, I colored my sun yellow-green. Throughout my life, you know, I thought I knew color, but you know, some people would talk about how money is green. People would mention, yeah, money's green, and I would be like, yeah, of course, yeah, it's green. But in the back of my head, I was like, what are they talking about? It doesn't look green to me. I went along with how people categorize these different colors. To me, money, it kind of looks like this dirty white, brownish color. Why did I go along with what people said? Because it was advantageous to me. You know, there's a social acceptance. You're looking weird in front of other people. There's advantage. You know, I agree with people because I don't want social discord. This is what happens when you tell a lie. You don't have to deal with the discomfort of something. You know, lying happens in Christian ministry too. You know, you get a call from a person. They want you to do something for church. Hey, did you do that thing that I asked you to do? And you're like, yeah, I did it. Don't worry about it. But you didn't do it at all. You didn't even touch it. Why do you lie? Because it protects your reputation. You want to look good in front of the other person. You want to maintain that reputation that you're a reliable person. Or sometimes you lie because you're comfort. Here's the same situation. The person calls you, hey, did you do that? You say, no. You tell them you did it. Why? Because you don't want to lose comfort. You want to be comfortable. See, people rarely lie for the sake of lying. You lie because there's something good that you seek. See, underneath the lying, you want something good. Like, if I get that person's approval, I'll be happy. So you lie to get it. It means you're just like Jacob. You're on a quest for blessing. And sometimes, you know, this is what Jacob does in verse 20. You weave religion into your lie. Look at what Jacob does. He says, Isaac said to his son, how is it that you have found it so quickly, my son? He answered, because the Lord your God granted me success. Why is Jacob talking about God here? Not really because God gave him success. He's using God to get ahead. He's using God as a way to get the blessing that he really wants. In other words, he's using God for himself. And what do you really want? You know, if you're honest, you don't want God. You want his goodies. You want what he can give you. Imagine you work at the local Starbucks. Customer comes in, very attractive girl. She's friendly. She starts flirting with you. She's really nice to you. Takes the time to get to know you. So, you know, you start giving her free drinks, free coffee. You talk to her, you know. And then one day at work, you're like, hey, would you like to hang out after work? She says, no, I'm busy. And then you ask again. She says, no, I'm busy. And you start to pick it up. Why is she being your friend? Not because she likes you as a person. What does she really want? Not your friendship. Not you as a person. She wants the stuff that you give her. Whether you realize it or not, you do this all the time with Christianity. You use God to get what your heart really wants. You know, you want God to answer your prayers. You want God because you want a little comfort and forgiveness. So, for example, maybe you start going to church because you feel guilty. There's all this stuff that you've been ignoring God. So, you know, you try to be a little bit more spiritual. You start reading the Bible and praying. Why? Not because you love God. You're really doing it for you. See, there's a way even to twist religion to serve you, to get a blessing for you. We are all on a quest for blessing. So you're like Jacob. You lie to get the blessing. There's some goal, something that you're seeking as your happiness. That's not God. So the problem is actually not just lying. Yeah, lying is bad. The problem is something else besides God is your true blessing. You are looking at some other object, some person, and attaching ultimate value to them. You say, this person will make me whole. This person will make me complete. Your approval will finally make me happy. In other words, you're saying what Jacob and Esau said thousands of years ago. I want the blessing. So that's point two, the quest for blessing. Now, finally, point three, the power of blessing. You know, we all want this blessing. We want the self-worth, the wholeness, when other people say you matter. But you will never get that lasting security when you find your self-worth from the praise of other people. You know, you'll always feel inadequate. You'll always strive to perform, achieve these goals, accomplish yourself, look good in front of other people. So you need another blessing. And where do we get that blessing? Look at the end of this passage in verse 34. And we looked at this. It says, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. Esau is extremely upset that he doesn't get this blessing. And scholars and commentators notice there's a very detailed description of his emotion here. You know, typically Hebrew narrative doesn't go into detail about people's emotions. But in verses 33 and 34, you get a lot of detail about emotions. Even Isaac gets emotional. Look at what it says in verse 33. Then Isaac trembled very violently. What does all this detail tell us? It tells us that there's actually some power in the blessing. Now, Isaac's response shows us that there's some real power in his blessing. But there's also this difficulty. You know, why can't Isaac just bless the both of them? That's a common question. Why can't he just give Esau also a blessing? Derek Kidner, who is an Old Testament commentator, studied the book of Genesis. He says, Isaac at this point realizes that he's been fighting against the will of God. So he submits. See, in Genesis 25, God predicts that the younger twin is the one who will rule and get the blessing. Jacob is the one who should get the blessing. But Isaac doesn't want to give it to him. He wants to give it to his favorite son. But at that point, he realizes he's been fighting against God. God wanted Jacob to have the blessing all along. So Isaac accepts defeat. And that is why he doesn't bless Esau. But we have to ask the question, why? You know, why Jacob? Jacob, look at Jacob's character here. He's slimy. He's conniving. He's a liar. He's a cheater. He looks out for himself. He manipulates. He uses religion for himself. And God gives him the favor. God gives him the affirmation and the love and the promise of a good future to a bad guy. He blesses an unholy man. And this blessing actually points us forward to the gospel. You know what the gospel tells us? The gospel tells us that salvation, God wants salvation for unholy, evil people. See, no matter how unholy and evil you are, you can get this blessing in Christ. Jacob is probably the worst character in the story. You know, so no matter how bad your background is, what evil you've done in your life, it's possible to get the love and acceptance of God. But how can God do this? You know, how can God bless an unholy person? When you read the rest of the Bible, isn't God only supposed to bless people who obey? Some people think this, so they avoid Christianity. You know, there's people who say, there's no way God could ever accept me. You know, after all the things that I've done, all the things that I've done with my life, you look at your past sins, you look at your failures, and you say, I'm not lovable. I'm not good enough to be blessed. I'm not acceptable. Look at all my failure. God can never accept me. It is true that God blesses people that obey. So how in the world do we get blessing? Because there, thousands of years later, there was somebody who obeyed. He was a man of integrity. He was the only man of integrity who ever lived. His whole life was centered around God's honor. He never lied, and he always made his father his security. But on the cross, he got the very opposite of blessing. See, on the cross, Jesus Christ was cursed. That's what verse 29 talks about. It's a curse. And Jesus Christ took that curse for us. He got the opposite of blessing. On the cross, Jesus got the rejection of his father. And why did he do that? Because God wanted to bless sinners. He wanted to bless the people who were disobedient. So now when you believe in him, he accepts you on the basis of Jesus Christ's obedience. Right now, in Christ, if you're a Christian, you have the unbreakable delight and favor of God the Father. He looks at you and he sees righteousness. See, when you become a Christian, you get the verbal affirmation and the confidence that makes you unbreakable, that makes you less needy. Are you a needy person? Are you always trying to prove yourself to the world? You know, are you always trying to prove that you're beautiful, competent, and more skilled than other people? The gospel says that in Christ, you're already loved and accepted by grace. God sees you and delights in you. He looks at you and sees the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. So why are you always trying to impress people? Why are you always trying to show people that you're better? Go to Christ and get the blessing that your heart really needs. Get the verbal affirmation that you really need. Get the security, the emotional security. When you know that you're already loved in him, you don't have to prove yourself to anyone. When you believe in his love, you will become unbreakable. Let's pray. Our Father, we want to thank you for what this passage teaches us about your grace and your love, and also about us. Lord, many times our hearts are so addicted to getting the blessing and affirmation from other people. We want the affirmation of a lover. We want the affirmation from society, from our job. We want to feel competent because we feel deep down inside so inadequate. I pray, Father, that you would change us by your Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, to see that we are loved in Jesus Christ, to believe in that, and also that that truth would so fill our hearts that we would turn from these other things and turn to you to get the blessing. Help us to see that we already have it in Christ. And Lord, help us to become people who are so grounded in your love that we turn it into love and serve other people rather than serving ourselves. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.